Item 13, 3304 LLC, number 062284. Hi, Ben.
How's it going, sir?
Going fine.
I'm losing my mind.
See, if that was a real project, when I would have said that fingerprint made into a floating dock.
Yeah. Kathy, if I could have the lights, please. So 3304 LLC is requesting after-the-fact authorization to retain a 22-slip commercial marina intended to replace a previously existing marina facility adjacent to their property situated along the Occoquan River in the town of Occoquan, Prince William County. This is a site here. This is the topo map, the location. This is a site that we did look at last year. Actually, this is two properties downstream of a community pier that was permitted in the town of Occoquan. So some of this may start to look familiar to some of you. Again, you can see here it's Interstate 95, and this is Route 123 that runs up into the town of Occoquan and crosses over into Fairfax County on the other side of the river. The proposed project is located, as I said, on the Occoquan River and is immediately west of the Route 123 bridge, as you can see here in this site. This photograph. Just close-up view. This is a 2002 photograph, and you can see here this is the restaurant that is owned by the applicant, and the small marina that was in place in this 2002 photograph. The actual pier structures that are there now do differ slightly from what you see here now. This is actually a 2006 aerial photograph. This was taken just prior to the replacement of the piers. You can see these are the old piers here, and they have since been removed. But the applicant did purchase this property in 2005, and as I had stated, the Upland property has historically operated a waterfront restaurant, and the marina is intended to support the restaurant, but also does provide slips for rent. VMRC permits were previously issued for projects on this property in 1977 to a previous owner, Mr. Richard Krause, for a 38-slip commercial marina, and then also again in 2001 to the previous owner, C&C and Company, and the town of Occoquan for the existing marginal wharf, also known as the Riverwalk. And you can see here in this photograph, there's a marginal wharf that goes, this is the town's property here. The town also owns this street. It's an alleyway really called Cooper's Alley. And the boardwalk here goes around, and they also have transient slips that were permitted in that 2001 permit for people coming to visit the town. Just as another aerial and oblique shot showing the previous marina site. This again is the old bridge. The new bridge is being constructed on the upstream side, slightly closer to the marina as it exists today. The applicant is seeking after-fact authorization for this 22-slip commercial marina. This drawing does show the layout as it currently exists. The existing unauthorized marina is comprised of two main floating piers with all of its associated finger piers, pilings, and access ramps or gangways that provide access off of the marginal wharf. The applicant installed the after-the-fact marina structures to replace the dated piers installed by previous owners. Rather than allow the contractor of the new Route 123 bridge, Archer Weston, to reinstall the old floating piers that were temporarily moved to accommodate construction of the bridge. This project drawing shows the alignment of the replacement piers as they were installed last July. Mr. Bill Lynn, Vice President of Riverwalk at Occoquan Incorporated, contacted staff by telephone on July 24, 2006 to determine whether a VMRC permit had been obtained by the owners of Madigan's Waterfront, which is owned by 3304 LLC, for the complete replacement of the floating piers and associated structures at their marina facility. Riverwalk at Occoquan followed up this conversation with a letter dated July 24, 2006, requesting staff to look into the matter. Staff did visit the subject property on August 3, 2006, and verified Riverwalk at Occoquan's concerns that the applicant's marina had been recently replaced. This is a photograph here on the screen from that site visit, and you can see the floating piers newly installed and not yet open to the public. There's still tape wrapped around, and some of the piles still had not been cut off to the proper height. Search of the commission's records failed to produce any evidence that the marina replacement project was authorized by VMRC. Staff did then issue a notice to comply, dated August 7, 2006, was sent to Mr. Robert Madigan, managing member of 3304 LLC, and directed removal of the unauthorized marina structures within 30 days. In the alternative, as we often do, staff did inform Mr. Madigan that they could elect to submit an after-the-fact application for authorization of the unpermitted marina replacement structures. This is a copy of the permit drawing from the 1977 permit issued to Richard Krause. This was a 38-slip marina, as I think I mentioned earlier, but you can see here the property line. This is the town of Occoquan's alleyway, Cooper Alley, and the protestant's property is located immediately downstream of that. So there's about a 25-foot alleyway that separates the protestants from the applicant. But you can see here that these are 30-foot slips, and they ran right up onto the edge of the property line, extended out into the water. And of course, that would not necessarily represent a riparian boundary, but is often looked at, and particularly there is a fairly straight shoreline here, so it's often assumed that property line extended would represent a riparian boundary, whether that's actually true or not. This is actually from a 2002 plat. Staff has had a copy of this. This is from the town of Occoquan. Staff's had a copy of this in file for several other projects that we've seen, but actually this shows the layout of the pier in 2002. As you can see, this differs slightly from what was permitted in 1977. There's actually only 32 slips here. But the slips appear to be a little bit larger, and the decking seems to be a little bit different. Also, this plat does not show, there were also several building structures that show up in the aerial photographs that were not permitted and were on this previous marina prior to its replacement. This project drawing shows the footprint and alignment of the unauthorized marina piers after the piers were shifted as much as 31 feet 8 inches upstream. The piers were shifted to keep the marina within the applicant's riparian area. The applicant has stated to staff that he was not present when the piers were installed, and that once he did see that how they were installed, he did note that they would extend most likely out of his own riparian area and into the town's riparian area. So he did contact staff, and staff did tell him it was okay to go ahead and shift those. It was already after the fact, and it would be removing them out of more than likely out of the town and possibly the protestants' riparian area. So he did shift that down. You can see there was 54 feet that separated the property line from the center line of this pier, and that's now, I believe, 22 feet 4 inches. And as I just stated, that access to these downstream slips on this Dock A requires boats to enter and exit the marina through what is most likely the town of Occoquan's and potentially the protestants' riparian areas. Staff is, as I stated earlier, is careful to point out that the exact boundaries of these adjacent riparian areas are unknown since they have not been formally apportioned by a court of chancery. Neither staff nor the commission has the legal authority to determine the extent of riparian areas between adjacent properties. This photo right here actually shows this is, again, this is from November, a second site visit staff conducted. This is prior to the shift of the piers. And you can see here, I would note this entrance, the gangway here, where that lies. And actually, this is a photograph from about 2 weeks ago. And you can see there on the handrail, in fact, it's a little bit hard to see on the screen here, but they had actually shifted it from this location I'm pointing to down to here. And again, it's about 38 feet, I believe, or 31 feet, I'm sorry. Because of it's difficult to get a shot of the entire project from the ground, I actually have this panning video just to give you an idea. Right now we're looking downstream of the Occoquan, and this is the new bridge. You'll see the protestants' property. It'll be the first you'll see, and then you'll be able to see the entire pier as well as the restaurant that's owned by the applicant. I'll just stop right here. This is the property owned by the protestants, and you can see the white handrail that goes along their portion of the riverwalk. It marks their boundary roughly where their property line is. I'll continue. And again, I'm standing on the pier the town of Occoquan has for transient slips. There's a small park located here that the pier extends off of. Riverwalk at Occoquan, by letter dated January 3rd, 2007, stated their objection to the applicant's after-the-fact project. Their letter indicates that they are concerned that the current configuration of the applicant's marina will require boats entering and exiting the marina to utilize a significant portion of their riparian area, which they hope to develop as a marina at some point in the future. This photograph on the screen here was taken from the second-story balcony of the protestants' property. Their property actually houses several shops and small cafes or restaurants. But they have discussed with me over the past almost 3 years now several times that they plan to do something here at some point. And as you can see, the bridge here on the right, there is a small triangular piece out here that is open, and potentially, depending on concerns of VDOT, they have expressed maybe a desire to do something under the bridge or on the opposite side of the bridge where they also own property. But they do have a riparian area in here of some sort and do have plans to utilize that. This photo was taken from the second story deck of the applicant's restaurant. The applicant's property line runs along the edge of the building, which is approximately 10 feet to the right of where this picture was taken from. The town of Occoquan, as I earlier had stated, does own the property, the Cooper's Alley, the road that separates the applicant's property from the protestants. And this is just another photograph. You can see here, as I mentioned earlier, the white fence, a white handrail, does approximate the property line for the protestants. So they would be to the right, the town's property is 25 feet to the left, and then the applicant's beyond that. So you can see the end of the applicant's pier here, and if you were to assume a riparian boundary of some kind would extend out from this point, you know, you can see how close that could be. Again, that boundary, though, is still somewhat vague as to where that would actually be. The Virginia Institute of Marine Science in their shoreline application report dated February 15, 2007, states that from a marine environmental viewpoint, the adverse impacts resulting from this project do not appear to be significant. Virginia Department of Health, by letter to the applicant dated December 4, 2006, has determined the marina is exempt from their requirements for sewage pump out and dump station facilities, since the applicant has an alternate pump out and dump station service agreement with a nearby facility. Virginia Department of Environmental Quality, in a letter dated July 14, 2006, stated that no permit would be required from their agency. Staff notes that that the applicant has stated that he had contacted DEQ to determine the need for permits prior to the start of the marina replacement project. Although DEQ informed the applicant that a permit would not be required by their agency, they did not inform him that a permit might be required by VMRC. Department of Game and Inland Fisheries in an email dated January 30th, 2007, stated that the Occoquan River is a confirmed anadromous fish use area and have recommended a time of year restriction which would preclude all in-stream construction activities between February 15th and June 30th to minimize potential adverse impacts to anadromous fish during the spring spawning and migration period. Staff would note, though, that this is an after-the-fact project, so it has already been constructed. The Virginia Department of Transportation, in a letter dated February 15, 2007, stated that a VDOT land use permit would be required if the project involves the use of any VDOT right-of-way, and no other agencies have raised concerns or objections to the project. And I'll go ahead and conclude with our staff recommendation. Although the current facility was intended to replace a previously existing marina, staff believes that the protestants' concern over the project's potential infringement upon their riparian rights is a valid issue. Typically, staff recommends that the fairway between two adjacent marinas be at least 1.5 times the width of the longest slip to allow for the safe operation of boats into and out of the marina, out of marinas. Although the protestant does not currently have a marina, they do have riparian rights that should be considered. Staff recognized that the 1977 permit for the original marina had permitted 30-foot long slips aligned immediately adjacent to the extended property line, and that the current marina is similarly designed. Staff does not believe, however, that the increased length of some of the slips at the applicant's marina fairly accommodates the increased space required to safely navigate between the applicant's existing and the protestants' planned marinas. Staff believes the applicant's desire to accommodate larger boats while protecting the protestants' riparian rights and plans to construct a marina of their own can be accomplished by reducing each finger pier on the downstream side of the marina to be a maximum 30 feet in length. This reduction will provide an additional 15 feet of space for a boat navigating into or out of the longest channelward slip without necessarily reducing the size of the boat intended for that or any other slip. Accordingly, after evaluating the merits of the project against the concerns expressed by those in opposition to the project, since impacts resulting from the use of state-owned submerged land should be minimal, and after considering all the factors contained in Section 28.2-1205A of the Code of Virginia, staff recommends the project be approved in a modified form, specifically that the finger piers on the downstream side of Dock A, as labeled in the application drawings, be reduced to a maximum of 30 feet in length. Staff recommends the assessment of a royalty for the encroachment of the marina over state-owned submerged lands at a rate of $1 per square foot based upon revised drawings reflecting the Commission's authorization. Mr. Robert Madigan, managing member of 3304 LLC, has stated that he did contact DEQ and the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers prior to the start of work to inquire about the necessity of the permits, and that those agencies did not direct him to contact VMRC. However, staff believes that as an attorney, Mr. Madigan should have been more diligent in seeking out and determining the need for a permit from the VMRC to construct a commercial marina over state-owned submerged land. Therefore, staff would further recommend that the Commission assess triple permit fees and consider an appropriate civil charge based upon minimal environmental impact and a minimal degree of noncompliance. Staff considers this final recommendation appropriate, considering the after-the-fact nature of the applicant's request, but also the applicant's cooperation with staff following receipt of the notice to comply. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions. Mr. Madigan, representing the 3304 LLC, is here, as well as representatives of the protestant.
Right, thank you, Ben. Any questions of Ben? Dr. McConaughey.
Just a clarification. Did you say that the old marina was removed so they could build the new bridge?
Yes, sir. Okay. I believe that he'll probably discuss that a little bit more, but the previous owner, had made an agreement with the contractor for the bridge to have those piers taken out temporarily while they used it to park barges and cranes or whatever it was they needed to put in there, and that they had planned to just take those existing. They're all floating piers. They were just going to put them back in their original space, so they were just temporarily removed. But I guess that he decided that because of the the shape of those existing piers that it probably would have been better just to go ahead and replace them. So they do, it is a little bit different configuration. It is still two main piers. The number of slips is actually less, but again, the slips have actually increased in size somewhat, and that, but the, for the most part, it's fairly similar to what they've had in the past with some minor variations.
Mr. Schick.
Now, as far as the change in the size, the downstream slips, are those finger piers longer? Do they go? Does it go down further than the old marina did?
Yes, sir. The old finger piers were approximately 30 feet long, and actually in this photograph here, this finger pier right here is actually 30 feet in length. This one here is 40, and this one here is 45. So what we're recommending is that these two finger piers here be reduced to 30 feet in length. So this one would be reduced by 15 feet, and this one by 10.
That would bring it back to where the old marina.
It would, but it would still be, actually would be offset slightly further away from the extended property line than what was there before, but staff believes that this, he could actually accommodate a slightly larger boat than just a 30-foot boat that probably could have been accommodated before. The finger pier wouldn't extend all the way to the end of the boat, but it would provide that extra distance for boats to be able to try and start turning 15 feet earlier on that last slip, essentially.
Mr. Fox.
You've got, there's some pilings other than the ones at the end of the pier, finger piers that hold the pier in place. I think they have three others. Would you propose moving those in also?
You're talking about the piles here that?
Yes.
Yes, sir. I mean, I think that would be appropriate, that those would need to be brought back in alignment as well, that so that nothing extended more than 30 feet out beyond.
Okay.
Thank you for clarifying that.
Further questions? Thank you, Ben.
Sure.
Is the applicant here represented?
Yes, sir.
Good afternoon, sir. State your name, please.
My name is Robert Madigan.
Raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes, sir, I do.
Proceed, please, sir.
Gentlemen, first, if I may, I would like to address the issue of why we did this without first applying to this commission for a permit. And if I could, I'd like to pass up these documents.
Sure.
With an explanation. When I first looked at this property to buy in 2004, actually later 2004, early 2005, I was very familiar with it. I lived not too far from here, and I knew there was a marina back there. And we were primarily buying a restaurant, but we were also interested in the marina. When I looked at the property, one day there were piers there, and the next day there wasn't. So I asked the owner, CC and Company at that time, what happened to the piers? And they informed me that they had made a deal with Archer Western, who was the contractor hired by VDOT to build the bridge, that Archer Western would remove all of their piers, use it for storage of barges, etc., and when they were through, they were going to put it all back. And frankly, there was probably money that passed too, I don't know, but I wasn't concerned with that. All I was concerned with was getting those piers back when they were finished. They assured me that they would put them back, and they even showed me what you now have in front of you, which is an agreement between Archer Western and CC and Company that they will replace the piers, etc. Well, as far as I was concerned, this was not my transaction. The document that's on the front is an assignment to me from CC and Company of all of the benefits of that agreement whereby Archer was going to put the piers back. So I'm fat, dumb, and happy, and I walk in there and say, okay, all I have to do is sit back and let them put in the piers. Well, they started to do that. They called me in April of 2006 after I had purchased the property, and they said, okay, we're ready to put the piers back. Well, they brought in the first couple of piers, and they were an absolute mess. I was afraid to stand on them. So I said, well, hold up a minute. What if I buy new piers? Will you put the piers in just like you were going to do with the old piers? As far as I'm concerned, you can have the old piers. So they agreed to that. They said, okay, we'll put in the new piers. Well, I called a company in New York, Sullivan, who I was told made great floating piers, and they do, and told them I'd like to have some piers, but I wanted them to be within the property lines just like the old piers were. They said, fine, we'll do that, and they did. I also told them that I was interested, because of the restaurant, of perhaps having larger boats, and if they could make the finger piers a little bit longer and still remain within the property line, would they please do that? And they said, okay, we can do that too. So they sent me a drawing that showed that. I took it to Archer Western. They said, fine, we'll put that in. And now we're up to about June of 2006. I started thinking, because I am a lawyer, but believe me, I've had absolutely no exposure to water matters prior to this. My practice has nothing to do with the water. I thought, well, wait a minute. If we're going to change these piers even slightly, perhaps some governmental authority needs to be apprised, and maybe we need to get permission. So my first thought was called DEQ, which I did. And I was, after some telephone calls, I was directed to Joan Crowther, who I was told was the person in charge of this area. She asked me what I was going to do, and I told her, and she said, I don't think you need anything, but send me a copy of your plans and send me a copy of a plan showing the existing piers. And if we agree that you don't need anything, I'll send you a letter. She did that. The letter is part of your packet. It is item number 3-6. 3C, I'm sorry. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, Joan Crowther told me, you better call the Army Corps of Engineers, because they may have some jurisdiction here, too. So I did. I called somebody whose name is Teresita Crockett, who was Joan Crowther's counterpart, I was told, at the Army Corps of Engineers. She was very nice. She explained to me that there was a thing called Regulation 13 or something like that, it's in my letter, that allowed a person who owned a marina to do substantial modifications without needing any additional permits from them. And I spoke with her at length. She talked to Joan Crowther. And when this letter finally went out, Joan Crowther sent her a copy of it. She's shown as a copy at the bottom. Well, everything was fine until July, when the piers were ready and Archer Western was ready, and we said, okay, go. And Archer Western began to install the piers. And at the time, I think it showed in some of these photos, as a matter of fact, it shows here, you see that structure that stands up, it looks black from here, straight from the railing. What that really is it's a prison bar type thing that has a lock on it and a gate. And that keeps a casual stroller on the boardwalk from being able to get onto a pier without having a combination to a lock that's on that gate. So when they came to put in the piers, they put the piers in where the gates were for the first time around. Well, I came in on a Sunday, and they were still working, and looked at it and could see that 45-foot pier, finger pier, was too far over and into Cooper's Alley, which is the town of Occoquan property. So I told them to stop what they were doing and let me decide whether I wanted to cut off the end of the pier or go to the trouble and expense of both piers to the left so that they would be within the property line. Well, I finally decided to move both piers to the left, but before I could do anything, I got a letter from Ben McGinnis saying that it was a notice to comply that I had screwed up, which obviously I did. So later in December, I was granted permission to move the piers back to where they are now, and we also moved those iron gates. So now they are totally within the property lines, the same way that the permit was approved in 1977. Now, to be honest, I didn't know about the 1977 permit when I put this up. As a matter of fact, Ben told me about it during the course of this. I saw it for the first time this morning, and I noticed that it was 38. It was piers with 38 slips, with the finger slips up right up to the property line, the same place as mine are. And whether or not that's the right line, it's the same line that was used for this 1977 permit. The only difference between my piers and the piers that were there before, other than the fact that they're new, is that because that 45-foot pier is longer, the main dock is pushed further back away from Cooper's Alley, and the slips are deeper but they extend out to the property line for the 45-foot pier. They're short of the property line for the 30-foot piers. So what we, in effect, did was sacrifice putting the 30-foot ones out to the line so that we could have the 45-foot one out to the line and push the whole thing back further into that lagoon. Having said that, I'm obviously very sorry for the fact that we didn't come to you for a permit, but had we known, believe me, we would have done it. I just was under the impression, first of all, that this wasn't even my deal, that it was between Archer Western and VDOT, and I thought my assumption was, and you know what they say about that word, but my assumption was that they had whatever authority they needed within the purview of building that bridge. They certainly had the authority to take them out and to put their stuff in there, and I didn't see why they wouldn't have the authority to put their stuff, put the piers back and take their stuff out, but apparently not. So the only concern I have about the staff recommendation that we cut off the ends of those two piers is this. The only reason, as I understand it, that that recommendation is being made is because of a concern that perhaps the Lynns may want to build some sort of a pier or structure on their property with which these would interfere. But the truth of the matter is that I think the likelihood of that ever happening is remote for two reasons. First of all, there's very little water under that bridge. It runs anywhere from 2 feet to maybe a maximum of 3 feet. And there's a couple of pictures in here, I think, that that show that. One of which is the chart. The chart is part of this package. That is the NOAA chart. And the NOAA chart, let me find it here.
While you're looking, I have a question.
Yes, sir.
Move things along a little bit. If the protestants, and I haven't heard from them yet, did decide to ultimately build something in their riparian area, would there be a problem then with the condition of your after-the-fact permit if it was issued that you remove that part that staff believes is in any way interfering with the ability of the protestants to complete their project?
That was going to be my suggestion. Yes, sir. My suggestion was going to be that if, in fact... You beat me to the punch. That was what I was going to suggest. If you look at this chart that's at 2-6, you can see in the upper left-hand corner where the bridge goes across the river. This is a blow-up of NOAA chart 12289. And immediately on the left-hand side of the bridge... there's 10 feet of water, and on the right-hand side of the bridge, there's 2 feet of water.
Can you put that picture of the bridge up in it again for me, Ben, please, so I can take a look at it? The last one with the riparian property with the bridge in the background, just that one right there. That's fine. Thank you.
Now, what you are looking at this point in time is the new bridge. These large abutments here are the new bridge. This chart is actually the old bridge. This was before the new bridge was built. As you can see, that bridge abutment, we're kind of standing on the... where I'm standing is the property line. As you go straight out, the Lynns are going to run into that bridge abutment. And the water there is extremely shallow. There's a picture in here somewhere of a barge sitting on the water that's showing 2 feet, and it's aground. Admittedly, that was taken at low tide. It is a series of pictures that follows 210, I guess. For the reason that the bridge abutments are there and the fact that the water is low and the fact that if you look at this original 1977 permit, the Lynns owned that property in 1977 when the original permit was issued. And that permit was issued with the finger piers up to the property line as we are requesting. But moreover, if in all that time they haven't built anything, I think it's a little bit hypothetical to wonder what's going to happen soon.
Well, quite honestly, Counselor, it's still not fair to, at this juncture, presuppose that they're not going to do it if you're, in fact, infringing upon their riparian area. I mean, let's call it.
Okay. But my suggestion was going to be that if, in fact, anything happens, then we can revisit, it seems to me, this. I don't know exactly how this commission works because I've never appeared before it before. But that would be my suggestion in lieu of taking off the ends of those piers now. The other thing I noticed today in the presentation of Ben McGinnis is that apparently if you're going to do something like this in a right-of-way that VDOT has, then you need to get permission from them, and I guess they probably have some sort of regulations about what you can do around their bridge abutments. And I'm not in the VDOT right-of-way, but the Lynn property is right smack under the bridge. And you can see from here that any part of that waterway is going to be right in the middle of the VDOT right-of-way. So that I guess those are my salient points, and I thank you for the opportunity to appear.
Any questions from the commission?
Yeah.
Mr. Schick?
I do have a question. You can believe nobody's more sensitive about having docks to remove part of docks than I am after you build them. But I just wanted to clear something. Are you telling me that you sent to the Army Corps of Engineers and DEQ that you were going to change the shape of your marina?
Absolutely.
And they did not tell you to come to VMRC?
No, sir. They did not. As a matter of fact, I actually have, you are looking, with that Sullivan plat is what I sent to, and the existing plat, which I think is also part of this, is what I sent to Joan Crowther.
Which Corps office did you contact, Counselor?
I don't know. It's one in Woodbridge, I guess.
Okay.
It's a field office that they have in Woodbridge.
It's probably on her letterhead.
Okay. Ben, while you're here, I have one question. How far a distance is it from what would you deduce to be the property line to the first bridge abutment?
Well, the length of his pier is approximately 115 feet from the edge of the riverwalk, so I would say that it's probably maybe about 130 feet.
But doesn't it come into like a pie-shaped formation as it gets closer to over here?
Yes, sir. One of the bridge abutments is probably within 20 feet of the property lawn on the opposite side of the Lynn's property.
All right, thank you. Mr. Schick.
Yeah, one other question. Now, maybe I heard it wrong, but you're saying that your 45-foot pier that extends the closest to the town of Occoquan alleyway, that the old dock was the same distance away from that line, your property line?
Yes, sir. You mean the one that was the 77 permit?
Yeah. No, from the ones that were removed by the contractor who built the bridge.
Yes. I think I understand your question. Are you asking me, is the 45-foot pier end on the same line that the ones that were removed?
The old ones were removed.
Yes, they are.
So
yes,
you're saying that your new dock system was just as close to your property line as the old dock system were removed by the previous
The longest line. Finger pier is on the same line that the old, shorter...
Same footprint.
Same footprint. The difference is that the long dock to which the fingerprints are or finger piers are attached is further away from the property.
Right.
That's how we were able to do that.
Okay, because I was to understand that is not the case. Now, of course, you weren't there when the old docks were there, and maybe we can clarify.
It wasn't the case the original construction. In other words, when it was first put in, it was not the case. When it was first put in, they put it in where the old gates were on the deck.
Okay, and then you moved it
and
down.
And then we moved it down.
And made it the same. That made the end of that finger pier the same. Is that true as far as what you saw?
That's correct.
Okay.
I think he had stated before that it was installed without him being there. Once they did shift it down to where they had
initially... Then I did misunderstand.
Where they initially had planned to install it, it doesn't extend any further beyond that extended property line than what was there before, The only difference staff is noting is that because the slips are longer now, boats coming into and out of will require that much more room to be able to move in and out, and that's the issue that we have.
Council's made a good point to me, and while we were having a sidebar discussion, this really, if you get right down to it, is a riparian apportionment issue. It deals with, you know, who is infringing upon whose right to the riparian area, and that's at times a court of chancery decision, and I think Ben has done a good job trying to ameliorate and facilitate a solution, but if you get right down to it, we're still back to where we started from, and that's riparian apportionment. But we'll continue with the case and hear from the protestants as well. So any other questions from... Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Protestants here wish to be heard? Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon.
How are you? State your name, please.
William Lamb.
Raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, except God?
I do.
Okay, proceed, please, sir.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. The main issue we have, the main protest we have, is that true, the new piers are parallel to his property line, but the size of boats that he's going to put in those slips is much larger. The right-of-way at that point where the alleyway is 20 to 25 feet. He's proposing to dock a 45-foot-long boat in there. I'm an owner of a 50-foot boat, and I couldn't put it in there in that 20 feet to swing it. And I'm pretty good at it. So that's my main objection, is that he's got to come over onto our riparian rights in order to back a boat in of that size. If he reduces that to 30 feet with the tie piling back 30 feet also, it's still going to be tight for a 30-foot boat. A twin-screw 30-foot boat could possibly make that swing. In 1977, Richard Krause was one of my tenants. He rented the marina next door, and he and my cousin Dick Lynn, who are current owners of Occoquan Harbor downstream, applied for this permit without my knowledge or my dad's knowledge. They went to the town and got the town's sanctions on it, and my cousin actually built it. So I didn't know about it, and it was a vacant lot at the time next door. We had no plans at that time to make any improvements on it. Well, in 1986, we built Riverwalk there, and at that time we wanted to build docks, but quite honestly, we didn't have the money to do it with. We had put everything that we had pretty much into that development, and when we were ready to do the development back there, we got wind of, well, they're going to put a 10-lane bridge across the river, and sure enough, it's almost finished. And we've waited at the advice of Hal Goodman and Ben McGinnis to wait until the bridge is finished and they get the barges out of the way, and then come up with a plan for both of you. I also own below the bridge 160 feet of water frontage that we also want to combine development with. So with that in mind, we've held off getting a permit. We want to cooperate with the town of Occoquan because I think they have plans of with VDOT to build a fishing pier under the bridge. So we want to coordinate our efforts with them. But that's getting off the point with the infringement on our riparian rights. And as far as water depth goes, I think that's a moot point because we certainly could dredge it out if it was shallow. However, I've been assured by the Archer Western people that we have more water than Mr. Madigan, average of 10 feet.
Mr. Lynn, how do you feel about the staff's recommendations?
I'd have to do the math because this is the first I've seen of it. Let me put it this way. If I dock my 50-foot boat right on my line adjacent to the alleyway, can he dock a 30-foot boat in that slip?
That's what you're saying.
If there was a wall down there, in other words, could he put a 30-foot boat in there? I don't know. It's still a little short.
Any questions from the commission? Yes, sir. Mr. Joseph?
I'm just getting the impression when we're talking about riparian rights here that the concern is that somebody is not allowed to maneuver their vessel
right
over an area that you claim to be your riparian right.
Yes.
And that's not the law. Your riparian rights give you the opportunity to have access to navigable waters to build a pier.
I'm saying we won't have access to it if he's got
a... That's perspective. That's not right now. That's if and when you should build a pier and get permission to do so, then your riparian rights would allow you to build that pier.
Mm-hmm.
But presently, your riparian rights don't prevent somebody from maneuvering their vessel over that area to dock.
Let me make this point then. The permit that you issued in 1977... has come back to haunt us. We didn't know about it because Mr. Krause was allowed to build up to the the property line, build a 30-foot pier. And he, had he ever built it, which he didn't build according to the plans there. Had he done that, though, he would have been infringing on us also.
But then the other point, sir, if I may make it, is that a permit from this commission doesn't authorize somebody to violate somebody else's riparian rights. So to the extent that he had built it and mm-hmm. had a problem with that, or whoever the owner was at the time had a problem mm-hmm. with it, they could have taken it to court and got an apportionment in a court of mm-hmm. equity.
So consequently, is that what you say I'm going to have to do?
That depends on what the commission does here today, sir.
Yeah. Yeah.
Any further questions? Thank you, Mr. Lynn.
Sir.
The matters before the commission for discussion and action. One thing that causes me a little concern, we've had some recent developments from a law enforcement perspective where VDOT has, just for what it's worth, really stepped up their aggressive approach to not having boats and certain things in the area of bridges. As a matter of fact, we've been requested to enforce specific regulations that preclude the mooring or docking of vessels due to the possibility of a hazard. So I just don't know where that's going to end up in the grand scheme of things as far as future plans are concerned, but I just throw that out for consideration as well. Matters before the commission. Mr. Robbins?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a question for counsel, and that question would be, would it be appropriate, as I guess we've alluded to in some of the previous discussion, to include as a condition of this permit an automatic review by this commission in the event that the protestant elects to apply for the construction of a pier permit?
I don't see anything that would preclude you from doing that, but it may be a moot point because at that point it's going to be a property issue as to respective riparian rights, and the ultimate resolution of that, regardless of what the commission might do, which doesn't have the authority to decide property issues, would have to go to court anyway.
So you see this ultimately as a riparian apportionment issue?
Eventually, yes.
Thank you.
Can I follow up then, Carla? If I could, real fast, on the same train of thought, what staff has diligently done is attempt to resolve in a roundabout way the right-of-way or the apportionment issue. Are we overstepping our bounds by trying to correct what might be perceived as a defect or a problem by doing that? Or should we approach the permit up or down with the appropriate civil sanctions? I mean, by applying those conditions, are we stepping into the riparian apportionment arena where we shouldn't be, is my question.
To the extent that you're trying to resolve where the riparian areas are, I think you're stepping into that. However, you do have the authority to determine reasonable uses of state-owned bottom lands, taking into account other people's reasonable uses of state-owned bottom lands. And if you anticipate that it may avoid a problem by requiring the cut down of one or more of these piers to a lesser length for purposes of navigation and the situation as you see it now, I think that's a reasonable approach to take.
Okay. Further questions? Mr. Shug.
Well, I don't see that from what the protestant has said that cutting back this pier is going to solve that problem. So my suggestion would be to go ahead and approve it as built for two reasons. One is, as I stated, it doesn't seem to remedy the situation if there is one. And the second is that he has put the marina back in the same footprint as the old marina. And it's very unfortunate that he was not referred to VMRC from our sister agency and our and also from the federal government, which should have happened, but which has kind of made the situation even a little bit more difficult. But so I would move that we allow the marina to be as built and with triple fines. That was recommended.
Triple permit fee without civil charge, with civil charge?
With what the staff recommended, which was
minimal.
Minimal.
So that would be $600.
Yeah.
Okay.
I just wanted to ask for a clarification on the royalties. There was also a recommendation for the royalties in that.
And that would include royalties.
Yeah, I just want to make sure.
Is there a second to the motion?
A second.
Second by Mr. Holland. Further discussion?
I guess I'm troubled that we are allowing the finger piers to remain out as far as they are, and I am more comfortable with staff's original recommendation, which would be to reduce them back to a maximum of 30 feet with the other conditions on.
Points made. All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed?
No.
Nay.
Two nays, correct? Okay. Mr. Fox and Mr. Tankard, thank you very much for a good presentation. Let's see. Next item on the agenda is number 15, public comments. This is an opportunity for those individuals that wish to speak on matters that are not on the agenda. Mr. Jenkins.
Got through with that. All right. Now we have public comments. Thank you.